भगवते वासुदेवाय।
भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो 13 चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 47।
अहस्तानि सहस्ताना अपदानि चतुष्पदा फल्गुनि तत्र महता जीवो जीवस्य जीवनम्।
हैंड्स
सहस्तानाम
ऑफ दोज हु आर एंडोर्ड विथ हैंड्स,
अपदानि
दोज हु आर डिवाइड ऑफ लेग्स,
चतुष्पदाम
ऑफ दोज हु हैव फोर लेग्स,
फल्गुनि
दोज हु आर वीक,
तत्र
देयर
महताम
ऑफ द पावरफुल,
जीवः
द लिविंग बीइंग,
जीवस्य
ऑफ द लिविंग बीइंग,
जीवनम
सब्सिस्टेंस। ट्रांसलेशन परपोर वाज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की। दोज हु आर डिवाइड ऑफ हैंड्स आर प्रे फॉर दोज हु हैव हैंड्स, दोज डिवाइड ऑफ लेग्स आर प्रे फॉर द फोर लेगेड, द वीक आर द सब्सिस्टेंस ऑफ द स्ट्रांग, एंड द जनरल रूल होल्ड्स दैट वन लिविंग बीइंग इज फूड फॉर अनदर। A systematic law of subsistence in the struggle for existence is there by the supreme will, and there is no escape for anyone by any amount of planning. The living beings who have come to the material world against the will of the supreme being or under the control of a supreme power called Maya Shakti, the deputed agent of the Lord. And this Daivi Maya is meant to pinch the conditioned souls by threefold miseries, one of which is explained here in this verse. The weak are the subsistence of the strong. No one is strong enough to protect himself from the onslaught of a stronger. And by the will of the Lord, there are systematic categories of the weak, the stronger, and the strongest. There is nothing to be lamented if a tiger eats a weaker animal, including a man, because this is the law of the Supreme Lord. But although the law states that a human being must subsist on another living being, there is the law of good sense also. For the human being is meant to obey the laws of the scriptures. This is impossible for other animals. The human being is meant for self-realization, and for that purpose he is not to eat anything which is not first offered to the Lord. The Lord accepts from his devotee all kinds of food preparations made of vegetables, fruits, leaves and grains. Fruits, leaves and milk in different varieties can be offered to the Lord. And after the Lord accepts the foodstuff, the devotee can partake of the prasad, by which all suffering in the struggle for existence will be gradually mitigated. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.26. Even those who are accustomed to eat animals can offer foodstuff not to Lord directly, but to an agent of the Lord, under certain conditions of religious rites. Injunctions of the scriptures are meant not to encourage the eaters of animals, but to restrict them by regulated principles. The living being is a source of subsistence for other stronger living beings. No one should be very anxious for his subsistence in any circumstances, because there are living beings everywhere, and no living being starves for want of food at any place. Maharaj Yudhishthira is advised by Narada not to worry about his uncle's suffering for want of food, for they could live on vegetables available in the jungles as prasad of the Supreme Lord, and thus realize the path of salvation. Exploitation of the weaker living being by the stronger is the natural law of existence. There is always an attempt to devour the weak in different kingdoms of living beings. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. It can be checked only by awakening the spiritual sense of the human being by practice of spiritual regulations. The spiritual regulative principles, however, do not allow a man to slaughter weaker animals on one side and teach others peaceful coexistence. If a man does not allow the animals to allow the animals peaceful coexistence, how can he expect peaceful existence in human society? The blind leaders must therefore understand the Supreme Being and then try to implement the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God, a Rama Rajya, is impossible without the awakening of God consciousness in the mass mind of the people of the world. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshahuvan Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitan Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantika Vandeham Shri Guru. Here Vidura, along with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, they have gone into the forest. And for the lamenting Yudhishthir Maharaj, Narada Muni is preaching philosophy to enlighten him, to bring him out of his moroseness and sorrowful attitude. You know, the law of subsistence, or the law of the survival of the fittest, as spoken by Darwin, is often misunderstood by Darwin as well as his followers. Darwin thought that one living being is mightier than the other, and even amongst the same species, sometimes there is a competition for how they can survive. So he thought, Darwin's understanding was that a particular living being, when it tries to survive in a certain situation, only the fittest one survive and the other living beings, they perish. And the fittest one survived, why? Because it had to bring about certain type of change in its course of living. And that change brought about a change of species. That's what Darwin proposed. So, Darwin is partially correct in his understanding of the survival of the fittest, because this verse explains about the survival of the fittest. The third line, Phalguni Tatra Mahatam. But that also has a connection to the first two lines, Ahastani Sahastanam Apadani Chatushpadam. The mightier ones, they dominate the weaker ones. That is the essence of this verse. As it is explained here, ahastani sahastanam. In the uncivilized communities, people, they exploit the lower animals. Like the animals don't have any hands, they only have legs, four legs. So they are exploited by those who have hands, namely the human beings. So this verse doesn't promote the idea that human beings can eat animals. It is talking of those human beings who are anyway eating animals, like in uncivilized communities. Prabhupada says in certain communities, people like in Africa, they eat, they're cannibals. They even eat people of their own community, the other human beings. That sometimes is African cannibals. You know, goats or cows or dogs. So in Sanskrit there are names for each of it. Dog eaters are called chandalas. Cow flesh eaters are called as mlechas. Similarly, yavanas. So these names are all given. Those who are eating pigs. So, even in Vedic times there were people who were eating animals, because some section of the community will always be like that. That is why it says ahastani sahastana. And he says, apadani chatushpada. Now the plants have no legs. They cannot walk from one place to another. But a tree or a plant survives by sucking water from the legs, from the ground. But it cannot move, like the grass. And it becomes a food for the chatushpadam, like the cows. Cows eat the grass. The grass cannot run away anywhere. The cow plucks out the grass and eats. And he says, Falguni tatra mahatam. The mightier creatures, they dominate the weaker ones. Just like sometimes you find the wall, that is a big lizard. And a fly comes and sits there. Slowly the lizard moves nearby and captures it. So because the lizard is mightier now and the fly is very small. Capture and eat. Similarly, sometimes small snakes are eaten by bigger snakes. Sometimes smaller fishes are eaten by bigger fishes. So, in this way, the weaklings are always dominated by more powerful ones. This Falguni Tatra Mahatam also has a meaning that even in the human society, sometimes a country dominates the other country. Like the British people are dominating India, or the Mughals were dominating India. They apply their power and they try to keep others under control. Sometimes you find African slaves being sold in the market. They are kept under control. Just as people used to have camels and horses and elephants, they also would have human beings who are sold as slaves. Now a lot of international revolution has come about how the human beings should not be treated as slaves. Sometimes you hear the small children in villages are exploited by the companies for rolling beedies or doing some work. Child labor is condemned. Worldwide there is awareness created that children should not be tortured like this. But you often find for the sake of money, many children go and often they are exploited like that. So we are living in a world of exploiters and exploited. Cheaters and cheated. Exploiters and exploited. The mightier ones exploit the weaker ones. Just like America knows that the Gulf countries have oil. So earlier they were purchasing, and then over a period of time they thought, why should we purchase? We are so powerful. Now let's wage a war. For no good reason you wage a war and you fight and try to dominate the whole country, take over the control so that you can get oil without paying anything. In fact, the might is the right is the materialistic law in this world. You know the story of this, once a jackal came to the riverside and was drinking water and was very hungry. So he was looking here and there, and then he saw a tender lamb who was downstream, he was drinking water on the other side. So he shouted at the lamb, "You foolish lamb, you have spoiled this water. Just see how dirty it has become. I am going to eat you up." And the lamb said, "My dear master, you are in the upstream and I am in downstream. Water flows from you to me. How can I, make the water muddy? I am at a lower stage, you are at a higher stage." Anyway, the jackal said, "Anyway, whatever you say, I don't agree with that. Maybe your forefathers must have made this water muddy. I am going to eat you up anyway," and he ate him up. So, in this way, you find the mightier ones quite often have no good reason for dominating the weaker ones, but they just want to overpower them, dominate them. That's why it says, Falguni tatra mahatam, to gain control. So in this way, in this world, he says, Jivo jivasa jivana. One living being becomes a food for another. Now why this kind of system is kept, that you cannot survive without eating the other animals? Scientists talk about the ecological cycle, how the cycle is arranged. A fly is eaten by a frog is eaten by a snake. Like that the whole cycle is, like a chain, it's connected. So why this kind of cycle is made? People ask, why God is so cruel? Why did He not create a peaceful world where, husband, wife, children, family members, everyone can do their work and live peacefully, happily. Even in homes you will find there is always anxiety. You see, when a husband and wife, they get a child, Then they are in great anxiety. We want to put our child in the best school. And we want to give good education to our child. One devotee was telling me, when he put his child in the very, very costly school, like some parents think, I want to educate our child in some of the best schools. When the child goes to school, then the other children, fellow children, they have a birthday party. They go to a big star hotel where they have swimming pool, and they call all their friends, and friends come and their parents come. And then this child also goes there and says, oh, my friend is celebrating birthday. His birthday comes, he tells his middle class parents, I also want to arrange my birthday party in a swimming, hotel with a swimming pool. Spend 60,000, 80,000, 1 lakh rupees for me. You understand? So, you will find, then parents also think, how to make our children happy? Give them costly shoes, costly dress. How to teach our child to compete with the world? Because, now, in the modern times, the competition or survival has become a great challenge. In the academic field, how to survive. Or if you are already in the academic field, how to teach them varieties of extracurricular activities to show that my child is better than other children. Every parents are into that mode now. They want to increase the family prestige by competing with the other people in the field. You see that. And when one comes to college, then there is a competition for career. How will you get into the job? There are limited vacancies and unlimited demands. And now unemployment problem. There also there is a cutthroat competition. Or even if one gets employed, there is a competition for foreign chance. Even within a company. Who will get foreign chance? If you learn Japanese language or German, then you will get a foreign chance. So there is a competition. There also. There is a competition for the post and position. People are trying to pull others' leg and climb up. The top of their heads. You go to business field. People do all kinds of atrocities in business field to keep the speed of the other people low so that they can go ahead. Just like, people puncture a vehicle so that you cannot drive very fast. So in the same manner, people try to pull others' leg down so that they can go ahead. In business field, this is very, very common. They do all kinds of corruption, all kinds of activities in order to get ahead in life. So there's a cutthroat competition. The world has become a competitive arena. Now, is it only in the modern times that the world has become a competitive arena? Even in the ancient times, you will find the kings can never sleep peacefully. There is always a threat that sometimes some king may come and invade your country. Or if you are not invading, then there are thieves and rogues in the country who are looting the public. Then one has to separate the thieves and rogues. One has to do that. And the king cannot put trust in the people who are working under him, because sometimes he subdues another king and brings him under his control and makes him the senapati. But that senapati, along with his soldiers, the whole group of people turn against the king and they hold him a captive and put him in the jail or murder him or kill him or whatever. So, either in the ancient times or in the modern times, we find there is always Falguni Tatra Mahata, the mightier people dominating the weaker ones. It has been there. It is not only in the modern times. In the modern times, it appears more prominent. It can be seen even more prominently. Prabhupada says this world is created in such a way that even those who don't want to commit sin are forced to commit sin, intentionally or unintentionally. For example, you are walking in the road, you put your foot on an ant, then naturally the ant suffers. You cause pain to the ant. Or sometimes you keep a jug on the table, and under the jug some creatures may come and sit. When you're taking or keeping the jug, then they get crushed. Like that. Or sometimes some flies or creatures may come and take shelter of a stove, And as soon as you lit up the fire, they all get roasted in that. And they die. So, in this way, knowingly, unknowingly, sometimes you go to bathroom or latrine, you pour water and they go right into the sink. You have seen? Ants and everything, they go in. So in this way, many times, knowingly, unknowingly, we kill so many living beings. But the reactions are there for that. One cannot escape from the reactions. There are reactions. Now we may wonder what to do, how to avoid it. If you have a material body, then unknowingly also I am committing sin. But if you don't have a body, then how one can fulfill the purpose of self-realization? Because we need a shariram kala dharma sadhanam, it is said. It's a dharma sadhanam. So we need the body also. So Prabhupada says, Krishna conscious devotees are very intelligent. They know how to live in this world by which they will not incur sin. That is why Krishna says, shariram kevalam karma kurvanna apnoti kalvisham. If one is living in this world only for keeping body and soul together, at the same time engaging the body in Krishna service, then one does not incur sin. No? One becomes free from sin. So devotees try to find out ways by which they can cause least pain to the other creatures while living in this world. Like for example, you know, devotees take the grains and the fruits and the cereals from the plants. Although sometimes one may take the whole plant, but quite often we take only the fruits of a plant or grains from a plant, like that. So we are causing the least pain, because even if you don't take it, the plant will drop it. There are sages and saints in the Vedic times who would accept a fruit only when it drops off a tree. As long as it is in the tree, they won't take it, because even plucking causes some pain to that tree. They will not even do that. So that is very high standard. So devotees try to cause least suffering even to the plants, even the creatures like plants. Like once Prabhupada was, Prabhupada was in a room along with his disciple, and the disciple was preparing Prabhupada's mosquito net. And he was putting the mosquito net. So he found there was a mosquito inside the net. Somehow he tried to catch the mosquito and knock him to the ground. When he knocked him to the ground, it fell on the ground, and Prabhupada felt very sad. He had beaten the mosquito. He took some this thing to beat the mosquito, and it fell. And both Prabhupada was watching and the servant was watching. Suddenly, after some time, the mosquito took off and like a flight, and went off from there. And Prabhupada was in a great smile. He said, "Thank God, you didn't kill the mosquito." So the disciple was wondering how Prabhupada is so concerned about even this small creature like a mosquito. He doesn't want the mosquito to be killed. Another time Prabhupada saw a caterpillar, small worm moving. And Prabhupada told the disciples, pick him up in a leaf and put him in the garden. So Prabhupada was concerned about even such tiny creatures. And Prabhupada said, "You will be very happy in the garden, because that is his place, natural place." Put him back in the garden. So, as devotees, devotees don't delight in torturing the other creatures for the sake of survival. That's what Prabhupada says here, if you see in the purport here. "There is nothing to be lamented if a tiger eats a weaker animal, including a man, because that is the law of the Supreme Lord. But although the law states that a human being must subsist on another living being, there is the law of good sense also. For the human being is meant to obey the laws of scriptures." So Prabhupada is saying that animals cannot follow the scriptures, but human beings can follow. And animals act by instinct, based on this kind of ecological law created. But human being is meant for self-realization. So there is a good sense. What is the good sense? The human being can eat vegetables, fruits, leaves, grains, and cause the least pain to the other creatures, and avoid causing serious pain to the other creatures by offering the food to the Lord. So, although this is a world where this kind of law is kept, still human beings can minimize the suffering they inflict on other living beings. Like we inflict suffering by our words which we speak towards others, by the deeds which we do also. In fact, it is said even the thought, by having a malice or envy towards someone in our mind, the other person sometimes can feel even hurt. For example, if you are sitting in one room, somebody else is in another room, they think bad about you and they pray that something bad happened to you, you'll feel as if somebody is beating you up. You can feel that. Because the thoughts are also very, very powerful. It is said thoughts are like weapons, powerful weapons. Even they attack a person. In the same manner, when on you know, on certain occasion all the devotees are blessing a particular devotee, then also that is also having a positive effect. So at the thought, at the level of word, at the level of deed, one can hurt or harm others in all the three levels. So devotee should find out how in all the three levels one can avoid as much pain to other living beings. And devotees try to do that. But the question should be asked here, why this kind of system is kept? Jivo jivasa jivanam. If God is kind hearted, why is such a system kept? Like Prabhupada is saying here further, exploitation of the weaker living being by stronger living being is the natural law of existence. There is always an attempt to devour the weak in different kingdoms of living beings. For example, a bird comes from the sky and lands, you know. As soon as it lands on the ground, you know, although he is eating some worm or something, he is picking up some food, he is always cautious, who is watching me? Because any time he can be at danger. He can have danger from a human being or from a dog or a cat or something like that. He is always alert, not to get killed by any other creature, you will see. Similarly, if you see a fish is going in the water, the fish is afraid of bigger fishes who will devour them. In fact, one lecture Prabhupada was saying that when the fish is going in the water, 10 miles distance there may be a big fish, but this fish gets a signal. He knows that, you know, that fish is following me. Now I have to go and hide somewhere. Even in the aquatic kingdom, there is a danger. You know, we were watching this movie on, you know, this dolphins, isn't it? Dolphin has two eyes and he can sleep with one eye, while with another eye he can keep awake to do, you know, safeguard himself from the enemies. He can keep only one eye is open so that, you know, he will not die. He will not be killed by his enemy. Then he sleeps with this eye and keeps this eye open. While going in the waters, he has to defend himself. If he is closing both eyes, he is finished. Similarly, with one eye also, he is defending himself from the enemies. With one side of the eye, with another side of the eye, he is looking for his prey. Because he also has to catch prey. So he has such abilities, you know, inbuilt. So God also has done this. He has also given them the ability to defend themselves, at the same time, catch their prey, both. Prabhupada says, fear is not only with a aquatic or with a bird. Even with animals like a tiger, even a tiger is fearful. Like for example, when a tiger chases a deer is fearful. But a tiger is fearful of a man who may shoot him. Tiger also is fearful. Sometimes a tiger doesn't get food for 1 week, 2 weeks. And whatever food he got before flesh he got, he keeps that and eats little by little by little. He survives. Sometimes he becomes very weak also, not getting any food in the forest. That is why that verse says, Nahi suktasya simhasya pravishanti mukhe mirga, it says. That's the reason. Because unless he works hard, he cannot get for his survival. So, he says here, exploitation of the weaker living being is stronger is the natural law of existence. There is always an attempt to devour the weak in different kingdoms of living beings. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. In human beings also, you will get to witness people, you know, fearing the other people. In the political situation, I heard that sometimes even murders take place. Sometimes somebody stands for the post of an MLA or MP. So one party people, you know, they kill the other party people, isn't it? And then in order to take revenge, then these party people kill somebody from other party, up to the point of murder. Or sometimes in dividing a land between two brothers, you know, there is a great threat. First he may threaten, I'll kill you, I'll cut you and all that. And if he doesn't oblige, then he cuts off his hand or leg. You see that. Even between brothers sometimes. So there is a competition at every kingdom, including the human kingdom. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. It can be checked only by awakening the spiritual sense of human being by practice of spiritual regulations. The spiritual regulative principles, however, do not allow man to slaughter weaker animals on one side and teach others peaceful coexistence. Here Prabhupada is making another new point. He says, some people talk a lot about world peace and everything, but they kill the lower animals. They kill the goats, they kill the cows and all that. But amongst human beings, they want peace. They don't want wars. In fact, there is a direct connection between animal killing and wars. There is a direct connection. Killing of the animals only later on leads to wars. Because millions of animals are being killed worldwide. And those human beings who kill those animals, they have to be killed also, isn't it? And that's why the wars are arranged. Where huge, big bombs are dropped and millions of people die in one stroke. Mass karma. Like that. So Prabhupada says, you cannot have peace in the human kingdom if you are killing the weaker animals. Some people ask a question, if you don't kill the animals, then what will happen to the ecological cycle? You know, if you don't kill the animals, then how will, you know, the world move, go on? Then animals will become too much. No. In fact, in the modern times, you find human beings are coming up with techniques and tools by which they can produce more animals. Like a chicken, for example, is made to constantly eat. Whole night, they put bright lights so that by eating more, it will constantly keep on reproducing. They want to increase the reproduction of the chicken. They want to increase the reproduction of goats. They want to increase the reproduction of calves. And they are doing it by force on the animals, by feeding them more, by giving them some injection, to inject certain hormones in their body by which they will be agitated and they will want to produce more. These kind of things are done. And also they are trying to make more flesh and less bones so that they can eat. These are all done by human beings. And then they are asking, how will the ecological cycle go on? Now so much is created, we only have to eat them now. They only create a disturbance and they only want to eat. Afterwards you can say. So that's the Prabhupada saying, you cannot have a peaceful coexistence if you are slaughtering the weaker animals. If man does not allow the animals peaceful coexistence, how can he expect peaceful existence in human society? Blind leaders must therefore understand the Supreme Being. So here, the question I was asking earlier is being explained here. Why in this world this kind of jiva jiva se jivanam is kept? This principle of one living being becoming food for another, why is it kept? We can ask, is not God very intelligent? Then God could have arranged, you know, just like we are eating grains, animals can also eat grains, cow can eat grains, you know. And it can be arranged in such a way that, you know, everyone eats grains and fruits and lives peacefully. Even a tiger and deer can, you know, catch each other's hand and go like friends together, isn't it? A snake and a eagle can, you know, be friends. A cat and rat can be friends. You know? Why this kind of jiva-jiva-jiva-jivanam principle is created? Because especially when you observe this, it's very painful to see sometimes. You see a cat catching a sparrow or a pigeon from the behind and eating. So you feel like you sometimes you see this lizard catching a fly. You know, you want to save the fly sometimes. So because you find fly is looking at other direction and from behind he comes and catches him suddenly. So it may be painful to see, but Prabhupada explains here, this principle is specifically kept by the Lord to pinch the living entities by the three modes of threefold miseries. He explains that. The threefold miseries are given, it's like the pinch of a teacher to a child who is not doing the homework. The homework is to be done by a child, then the child will get a pat on the back, he'll get some reward. But when a child doesn't do his work, then he has to get a pinch. Similarly, all the living beings, they have strayed away from their natural position by coming to this world and trying to make an independent program of enjoyment. You see, people, even in the modern times you can see, people want to enjoy life by eat, drink and be merry policy. And then when they live a life of eat, drink and be merry, they find over a period of time there is a terrible fight between husband and wife. And there's a terrible discord between the opinions of parents and children, isn't it? And there is a serious difference in opinion between a father and sons when they want to divide the property amongst the sons. There are terrible discord in the family. And people wonder why God is so cruel. Because throughout the life they have lived a life of eat, drink and be merry. And now, because it's animalistic life. If you live like an animal, just like animals fight, we also have to fight. That is how this world is created. If you keep ourselves as animals, then we should be prepared for such a fight. And in big families, so-called royal families, there are terrible fights between brothers, between parents and children. Sometimes the fights torture their minds so much. People even commit suicide sometimes in big families. So they ask why? Why this kind of fights are created in the world? To the degree the living being goes away from God, to that degree he has to be prepared for this kind of things. Now we may say, what about animals? They are following the laws perfectly. Animals, a tiger is eating flesh and a cow is eating grass. They are following God's law. Why should they suffer? But animal kingdom is totally based on the platform of instinct. There is no free will there. Free will is completely stunted. They have to just finish off their term in animal body and come to the human body. It's like you are put in the jail. Just like have you seen, sometimes the police catches a thief and the thief is not allowed to speak a word. They beat him, they slap him, they take a belt and beat him like anything, and you feel even sympathy. Sir, why don't you, ask him some questions? And the police will say, "Isko teesra baar pakad rahe hain. Third time we are catching this fellow. Already he has been warned enough. Now he will never be given a chance to speak. Just to slap him, beat him, kick him also. They kick him with their shoes and throw him into the jail. So he is not allowed to speak. Animal kingdom is exactly like that. Like a jiva who has committed so much sins that he is, he is thrown into the animal kingdom or bird kingdom, where the living being cannot even speak with the mouth and say that, no, I did this because of this. And he will not be given an opportunity to speak only. You be in the animal body and you suffer. And all animals you will see, they become food for another. You find. In human body at least there is sometimes danger and sometimes not. You are not going to be eaten by anybody, Or you are not going to be bitten by serpent necessarily. But in an animal kingdom, sure shot, every animal becomes a food for other animals. You will find that. That is how it's created. Why? That is the punishment, the pinch that is being given for the living entity for his atrocious activities in the human body. For that he is being given that. So he cannot exercise his free will. He is completely stunted. Like sometimes you hear of the cows and the pigs, who are put in pens. They have wooden pens and they cannot move here or there. They have to just eat only the grass put for them with the mouth. And then they grow fatter and fatter and fatter and they are sent to the slaughterhouse and cut off. Why? Because, such punishments are given in animal kingdom because of the atrocious acts performed in human kingdom. In human body, you have a free will. You have the mouth to speak. If somebody asks you some question, you can give some answer or some reason. You are allowed to speak. And then you also have repentance. There is rectification. You can become a better person. Even if you have committed a lot of sins, you can go in front of God, kneel down, offer prayers to Him, clear up the sins by chanting the holy name. All that is available in a human body, the facility, but not in animal kingdom. So animal kingdom is the time when one has to work off all one's bad karma. And then after being pinched by other creatures, like one becomes a frog, is eaten by a snake and becomes completely eaten up, and then he is reborn. When he is reborn, then one is given a chance again in the human body. But even human life will become miserable and as painful as animal kingdom if human beings live like animals. Very simple. So Prabhupada says, Krishna conscious devotees, they don't keep their life like animals. They live on a very refined platform. Like for example, they eat only foods that are offered to Krishna, vegetarian foods. And also they cause the least harm to each other, the other living beings. So that way, the life, even on the material world, on the material platform, even in the material world, life can be peaceful if one is a spiritualist. The degree one becomes a spiritualist, then life will be very simple. Simple living, high thinking. That is why it is said. So keep your life, simple dress, simple food. Don't complicate the life. That's why it is said. Because, the Vedas give a program of peaceful life while living in this world. And then at the end of one's life, go back, come back to Godhead. So here, he is telling all these things. Why? You are worrying that Dhritarashtra has gone into the forest. Now, how will he survive there? You are lamenting. But don't lament. In the forest also there are fruits arranged by the Lord through the nature. There are rivers to drink water. He will eat fruits and he will drink water in the rivers. There are gufas which are warm in winter and cool in summer. So he can stay peacefully there. And Lord has arranged for every living being. As soon as a child is born, the mother's breast becomes filled with milk for the child. So even mother doesn't know. how the milk comes exactly when the child is born. You see, when a cow begets a calf, immediately the milk comes. And you will always find when there is no calf, cow will not give milk. Cow cannot give milk. That is why every year when the cow is begetting a calf, then only the cow gives milk. You will see that. So it's arrangement by God. Your food is arranged as soon as you are born. And Prabhupada says, as soon as you are born, there is a pulling and striling. Some are born male, some are born female, which means in sex life is also arranged, Prabhupada says. So eating and mating are arranged. And sleeping, needless to say, a newborn child keeps sleeping all the time. Practically, 15 hours a day, 10, 12 hours a day. Sleeping, he doesn't even know how to sleep. It's already, he's taught right from the beginning only. Isn't it? And how to defend. Actually, a child is defended from the cold of the winter and heat of the summer by the parents. Wrapped by the napkin. Some animals, they have a thick fur when they are born. So they are protected from the natural dangers and the climatic conditions and all that. If some animals are born in certain extreme climates, they are given a body suitable to the climate so that they will not die. They can survive even in the climate. So it's an offering of God for them to defend themselves, defend their lives. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending, everything is arranged at the time of birth only, if you see. So that is what a human being can understand. And right from birth onwards, one can directly work on aiming at the ultimate goal of life, human being. And then, as Prabhupada says here, if a human being does not care for spiritual life, then he is focused on eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Then he becomes an animal, two-legged animal. Whether you are a two-legged animal or a four-legged animal, jivo jivasa jivanam, phalguni tatra mahatam, there will be competition. One of the reasons why devotees' lives are generally quite peaceful is because they are not greedy or they are not over-ambitious. In the material world, you find people have no other goal. They don't know what is going to happen after death. They don't know I am not the body. So they set very high material ambitions in their life, with respect to earning money, with respect to enjoyment in the family, with respect to enjoyment in the business. They set very high goals, unrealistic goals, and they struggle hard to attain them. And that's how they get into a rat race and into a competitive mode. When one becomes a devotee, sometimes you find a devotee becomes a little lazy in material life. This is one of the reasons, because they have known the truth now. They know that, there is nothing to be conquered in the material world. No matter how much you work hard, how much you earn, how much facilities and luxuries you accumulate, everything will be stripped off at the time of death. Nothing is going to remain with me. So why work hard in material life? And then devotees understand that, let me work hard spiritually. Then they work hard spiritually in the spiritual direction, like that. But those who still have a inclination to work hard in material life, then Krishna has given different programs for them. Okay, you earn a lot and give a lot to Krishna, if you are really over-ambitious. But a devotee is expected to come to a sort of balance in life. If a devotee, even after becoming a devotee for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, is still very enthusiastic for delighting in material life, is very unfortunate. Material life, one should do it as a matter of duty. And spiritual life, one should do it jubilantly with great enthusiasm. And one should, even in material life, try to find out ways and means. Like I went to Delhi recently. One Mr. Uber Roy, in Delhi. So this person is a young person. He must be around 20 to 25 years of age. He has his own business. But along with his business, he goes to the internet and locates the companies which have got a lot of charitable funds allotted for charity organizations. And then he goes and meets them with coat, suit, tie and everything. And, books the, company for book distribution. So I heard that, in one company they would distribute 20,000 Gitas, 15,000 Gitas in huge companies, big companies. So this person is arranging. So I saw him, how enthusiastic. He's doing a business, his own business, but at the same time, any client or any company contact comes, immediately he's thinking, how to distribute books here. So he was telling Gopalakrishna Maharaj, was ordered me, that this is your service for you. I asked Maharaj, Maharaj, should I do any other service more devotional? And Maharaj said, no, this is the most wonderful devotional service for you. Maharaj told him, this is the best service for you. Because you have this talent of knack of talking very nicely to people. You are very smart in writing letters and talking to people. Now, last year they distributed 1,08,000 Gitas. This year Maharaj told them, you double it, he told them. Double it means it comes to how much? 2,16,000. Devotees became afraid. The Maharaj said, okay, I will give you a little concession. He said, okay, 2 lakh. Distribute 2 lakhs. He told them. So they are going to try this time. So I was thinking, this person, he is in the material world, he is in business, he is very, very busy. All day is very busy, but he also has connected his busy life to Krishna consciousness very wonderfully. And all the time he is meditating how to distribute books, how to reach out to this company, that company. And because he talks in a professional language, companies entertain him very much. And he also arranges seminars for devotees to go and give seminars in company. So, devotees actually, if they are very over-ambitious, they have to become over-ambitious for Krishna. Then they will be purified. In material life, over-ambition doesn't purify one. It only makes one an animal. And it makes one become frustrated and stressed, and head gets cooked up. And one loses all control. The other day, I saw one gentleman had come. He has been in the West for a long time, 15 years or so. So he had his children, son, daughter. So he was selling now, daughter was talking to herself when she had come here, and he was telling what to do. She has been in the West for many years, and because of overworking, she has gone practically mad. Now she talks to herself and she is hyperactive. She has a hyperactive mind. She cannot, while she will be talking, and suddenly she will stand up and run here and there and do something. So, because of the Western culture, that hyperactivity is coming to India also now, very much. The hyperactive culture. Now, there are children who are hyperactive, Small boys, parents are saying, Prabhuji, my son cannot sit in one place. All the time he's standing and waving his body, hands and legs, and he becomes hyperactive. And he goes mad, crazy. That is because of the materialistic culture. So, then the culture becomes like animal culture, like a tiger is chasing a deer. So we also have to be all the time on a rat race. So in the big cities, people are becoming so busy. Now if you tell them, I will give you some time to sit and relax, they cannot relax. They cannot sit. They are not used to that. So Prabhupada writes here towards the end, only thing possible to be done is to get rid of, he says, there is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. It can be checked only by awakening the spiritual sense of the human being by practice of spiritual regulations. So, Prabhupada says that the only way is to quit this material world. Why Lord has arranged this kind of jivo jivasya jivanam principle? Otherwise the living entities will become very cozy and comfortable in the world. They will never want to go back home, back to Godhead. So Lord has given this program for the living being so that, they will at least think why the system is kept. Why one has to die? Just like Siddhartha became Gautama Buddha. Isn't it? He asked, what is this death? What is this old age? What is this disease? Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. One should hear it in parampara and understand that these four miseries are kept here. And you, even if one says, I don't mind the sufferings. No, you will not be allowed to stay here. Even if somebody says, there is a lot of suffering in the world, adhyatmika, adhidevika. Anyway, what to do? Life is, not a bed of roses always. Kabhi dukh, kabhi sukh, whatever comes. No, even if you are ready to accept sukh dukh, you will not be allowed to live here. One has to quit. And the quitting the world also is done in a horrible way. Because of the system of jiva jivasa jivanam, many times. See, our body is so fragile. Somebody is walking in the road, they can be knocked off. Because sometimes, like you've seen this, they show in the railway station. I was in Udupi, I was in Delhi, I think. Delhi railway station, they were showing that, an old man and woman, they are carrying a luggage and coming and, the train comes and is standing there. Now they want to board the train. They keep the luggage here and they go. To board the train, he puts his old wife in the train and then his luggage is remaining there. So he comes there and his whole attention is focused on the luggage, He comes there and by the time he picks up the luggage and turns around, another train comes very fast, and is knocked off. The luggage flies to the sky and is flat on the ground. He becomes completely chutney under the train. And all the eagles come to eat his body. They show this. So they show a signal, you know. They say, don't cross the railway line. Use the, what is that? Use the bridge. Of course, when people see that, they become frightened. My Lord, it should not happen to me. It's very deadly. Such an old man, old woman. So the people learn some good lessons from it. So living beings become that. I was watching how all the people are seeing that particular movie which they were showing in the railway station. And all their eyes are ridden with fear, big eyes, you know. My Lord, thank God we have learned now nobody will cross the railway line. They will all go through the overbridge. But going through the overbridge doesn't assure you that you will live forever in this world. That is how this world is created. We can try to avoid accidents, you know. We can avoid a bus accident, car accident. Some people are careless in crossing road. We may chastise them, but that doesn't mean we will live forever. Even if you know to intelligently cross the road only in the, you know, where the crossing is put, isn't it? Yeah. Despite being very careful about all these things, still the body is very fragile. Even if one doesn't die in an accident, one can die with some deadly disease, which cannot be avoided. That is the way the world is created. So one should focus one's attention on the knowledge of the soul, the knowledge of God and the relationship. There is no other alternative. If one does that very wisely, then one will become free from the fear of death, even before death. Right now there is a lot of fear of death we have. Suddenly you hear of some disease, you become fearful. Like people who get disease, sometimes doctors don't tell them directly. They tell their family and friends. Why? Because people cannot take the shock that I have some disease. But in this world, one can never preserve the body. So why to make the vain attempt to protect this body, which is a falling away body? That is why Bhagavatam says, Thurnam yate tanapate tanumrityu yavan. Before the body falls to the ground, dropping dead, one should ascend to the spiritual sky, spiritual world. So here, especially Narada is speaking these things to Yudhishthira Maharaj for two reasons. One reason he says, they have gone to the forest, sometimes as Prabhupada writes, a tiger may attack even a human being and he may be killed. So they will be killed by the natural law or your, Dhritarashtra may survive there in the forest, eating the fruits, drinking the water, he may survive. You don't have to worry. You cannot control these things, Narada is saying. It's not in your hands. You can't protect anyone. Like he said, katam anyan sugopayet. You can't protect your own body. How are you going to protect someone else's body? Don't uselessly lament in this world. People spend their hard-earned wealth and time, energy, money in protecting their dependents, but Bhagavatam says that you cannot protect anyone in this world. Even if you protect now, sooner or later this body will dwindle, decay and die. So you have to make a program for your eternal life. That is the message of Bhagavatam. Grantrachimad Bhagavatam ki.